I help you?
I hope so. I'm looking for the Mayfield Nuclear Power Plant.
Mayfield, you're way off. That's 300 miles away.
Oh, no.
I got a map in the shack. I could show you how to get there.
Great.
Here we are. See, you go straight back past the best western, and you hop on the freeway and you head south.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. Oh, could you do me one small favor, though?
Anything I can.
Sit down.
Junk Food Dinner 109. First up, a man fights zombie ninjas or something in 1984's Olam Sabahsizi, a.k.a. the Death Warrior. This crazy Turkish flick must be seen to be believed. Next, tough Bronx youth Corey Haim must protect his new suburban high school from terrorists in 1996's Demolition High, directed by Jim Wynorski. Finally, space aliens turn a mild-mannered kid into a sexual dynamo in 1989's Dr. Alien, starring Billy James and Judy Landis.
Welcome to Junk Food Dinner, episode 109. This is the podcast where each week we scour the internet, video stores, and cable television, looking for the most outrageous and interesting cult films. We're not professional film journalists or critics by any means. We are simply three geeks from Ohio with entirely too much time on our hands. In Ohio, I am Kevin Moss, and I'm joined by my co-host Mark Fredo in New York and Parker Bowman in California. Every week, we'll each bring a cult favorite to the table, recalling our personal experiences with the film, discussing its merits, and arguing why we did or did not enjoy it. This week, we take a look at three very different films from three masters of schlock. Up first, we have Olam Sabahsizi, a.k.a. Death Warrior from 1984, from Kunyet Arkin, the Turkish mastermind, Demolition High from 1996 from Jim Wynorski, and finally Dr. Alien from 1989 from David D. Couteau. But first, gentlemen, how you doing this week?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Mostly, yes.
Parker, you're on a real streak here. You've been doing great all the time.
Yeah, I know. It's very surprising, given my desert circumstances.
Yeah, you're about to have a rude awakening pretty soon.
Yeah, I know. Once the town gets overrun with cockroaches, as seems to happen every summer, that's when things are really going to go downhill for me. But as for right now, I'm doing all right.
Pre-cockroach.
Pre-tigrantulas.
Yeah, yeah. I would prefer that to the cockroaches.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you guys do anything fun this week?
I saw the Revengos.
The Revengos?
Yeah.
Was that a serial?
That was the bootleg Mexican DVD version of the Avengers that I bought.
Ah.
That's not true. I saw the Avengers. For some reason, we had this big meeting, and then afterwards, we decided to go to Times Square and see it at midnight. So that was extremely disorienting, pretty frightening. The movie was okay. It was pretty good. I had a good time.
Yeah.
You like that Hulk? You like the way he smashes?
I do, yeah. Hulk was good. I also really like the after credit stuff. I thought that was magnifique.
Yeah.
The best part of the movie, though, was since it was midnight, there were all these drunkos in there with their babies, naturally. And at one point, it was during the scene in the lab when Iron Man and Captain America are like mouthing off to each other, and this dude gets up to go to the bathroom, and he just, like bites it hard. I mean, you could hear his face hit the ground, and everybody in the theater went, and nothing happened for, like, a solid four count. And so you could, like, hear people kind of start to, like, stand up and maybe go over to him, and this dude just, like, pops up and has this huge shit-eating grin on his face and shrugs, and the whole theater burst into applause. It was incredible.
Sounds awesome. I wish more shit like that happened when I went to the theater.
It was great. Yeah, I mean, it was really very funny. So I did that. That was pretty much it, I think.
Excellent. Yeah, sounds good. I didn't see the Avengers, but I saw my 2-year-old nephew this weekend, and he was wearing Avengers shoes, so...
So yeah, you pretty much saw the movie.
Yeah, I figure I just cobbled together what was going on his shoes, and I feel like I've seen it.
Yeah.
Ask him where he got the shoes. I want to get those same shoes.
Oh, man. They might only be big enough for your dog to live in.
That would be adorable.
I read something that said if the Avengers actually were responsible for that much damage to New York, that it would cost $160 billion to repair.
Nice. Well...
Well, it would cost a lot more if they let the bad guys win, I tell you that much.
Freedom isn't free.
You got that right. Even though Hulk probably did most of that damage.
Yeah, I did a fair amount of that. But those, like, flying spine monsters from space did a lot, too.
Yeah.
Oh, those guys are back!
Oh, no. Monsters.
Yeah.
I don't think so. You wouldn't say that if they were here.
That's true. You wouldn't be a big tough guy then.
It's not...
Yeah, a lot of really crappy trailers, though. No Dark Knight trailer.
Oh, I got the Dark Knight trailer and the Spider-Man.
They didn't want to have to clean up all that nerd jizz.
Yeah. It would have been baby spit up in my theater.
All right, well, let's get into some junk mail. We got some good junk mail this week. The first piece of listener feedback comes to our old friend Nick. Nick was, of course, the gentleman who recommended the Party Animal. So I was kind of afraid to read this email after we all kind of poo-pooed on.
We didn't hate it though. I think we were just lukewarm.
Yeah,
and offended. Lukewarm and offended highly.
But Nick took it in stride. He said, "Hey guys, just listen to the Party Animal review." He says, "This was a film I watched when I was a youngster, and maybe for the first time when I was like 12, and my friends and I have a lot of inside jokes about it. I was very curious, though, if I would see the movie for the first time now, what I would think of it. How much of the movie is actually fun, and how much is just nostalgia? I think that with a lot of flicks. Based on your guys' review, I think I know the answer. Probably would chuckle a few times, but dig the soundtrack. I love the soundtrack. What I do know, though, is that I love Last American Virgin. Surf 2 is also one of my faves, so some redeeming picks from Nick. He also says, regardless, I love listening to you guys review the flick. Fun stuff, even if you didn't enjoy it. Keep up the good work. I love the kind of flicks you review and have watched quite a few you have recommended since starting listening. Just saw The Pit for the first time this week. He said, okay, he has one more recommendation on a different feel, Midnight Madness. And it's funny, actually, after he recommended this via email, there was on our Facebook, there was a few, I think Mike Dick or something said that we should definitely do Midnight Madness as well, unrelated to this email. So, yeah.
Yeah, we've got a couple requests for that movie lately.
Yes. Have you guys seen that before, Michael J. Fox?
No. The people demand it, though.
Yeah, it's good stuff. We'll have to get around to doing it.
That American Werewolf in London, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's probably not all werewolfy, but he's there.
No, yeah. It's a good one. I had a friend in college whose girlfriend, it was like her favorite movie, and she would not shut up about it. next piece of junk mail comes from longtime listener Joseph Sylvia. He says, hey, Junk Food Dinner, just want to tell you guys you've been doing a bang-up job lately with the show. I really enjoyed the argument / discussion on Cabin in the Woods between Parker and Mark. It was highly entertaining, which is funny. I didn't think it would be, but...
It wasn't entertaining to re-listen to.
But I'm glad somebody dug it. He says, anyways, I'll try to keep this short and sweet. I really dig the horror stuff I've seen that's been released by the Shaw Brothers Studios. I was wondering if you guys have seen any of these Black Magic films, Boxers, Omen, or maybe seeding of a ghost. These films are usually filled to the brim with just crazy tentacle babies shooting out of vaginas, maggots vomiting, and flying severed heads. Just nutty shit that might be right up your alley. I'd also like to recommend you guys get around to doing a Pinky Violence show. I know that Kevin is about this type of sleaze. So come on, guys. How about some Terrifying Girls High School Lynch Law Classroom? All right, guys. Keep it junky from Joe. So thank you, Joe, for writing in.
Keep it junky.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that.
Yeah, I have Boxer's Omen upon Mark's recommendation. You saw that, and you said, get this, and I got it. I have not watched it yet, though. I've been waiting to do it on the show.
It's bonkers. I would love to do it on the show. Maybe I'll pick that for the first week in June.
Yeah, I love the Shaw Brothers stuff, and their horror output is very intriguing to me, although I can't say that I've really delved too deep into any of their stuff. The Black Magic films, Seeding of a Ghost, have not seen, but Boxer's Omen I have in hand, and we should get around to it eventually. The Pinky Violence, and I've talked to Joe about this several times on Facebook, my love for these movies, and they're ones that I've been wanting to get around to for a while. I've been kind of holding off because while they are awesome, they are kind of rapey, and I know that can take its toll on us at times, but they are very interesting. I mean, they're late 60s, early 70s Japanese movies with lots of violence, lots of nudity. The one in question, the one that he mentioned specifically, Terrifying Girls High School Lynch Law Classroom, is just ridiculous. There's a scene at the end of that movie, like a riot scene in a girls' high school, that I don't know how, like, nobody in real life got injured filming this scene, because it is just fucking chaos. And yeah, we need to get to it at some point. So so Joe, stick around, keep listening, and I'm sure eventually we'll get to some of those.
Well, there's that like really nice box set from Synapse, right?
Yeah, and I have that, and there's
that's good stuff.
And they've released a few subsequent ones as well, so definitely have to get around to it. Yeah. Next piece of listener feedback we got is from listener Glenn. He says, "Hey guys, I still haven't seen Cabin in the Woods yet, but had to comment on the feeling Mark had about it. His problem with it seems to be the game changer moniker that some critics slapped on it. Game changer is the hot new phrase to use if you want to get your review featured on Rotten Tomatoes or in the movie poster. From everything I've seen about it, Cabin is not a game changer. Game changers are Citizen Kane, Bonnie and Clyde, Star Wars, Pulp Fiction, etc. They change the way we watch movies and the way they affect popular culture. So this was just some uninformed reviewer or PR person that felt this was the next Inception, which isn't a game changer either." enough of that, though. He's got a recommendation for us. He says, "The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, Andrew Dice Clay at the height of his popularity, in quotes, Robert Englund and Patrick David Kelly in small roles, a fun movie all around. Reminder of some past suggestions, Nightbreed and Severance, a game changer, JK, JK. Thanks, Glenn." So thank you, Glenn, and for writing in. I know. Nightbreed, Severance, we got to get to them. We talked about those before. Mark, you want to address the... Is he pretty right on? Is that what your big beef with the...
Yeah,
I'd say that's pretty accurate. But yeah, I mean, Cabin in the Woods, I think we all agree we liked it. But let's not go down that path again.
No. Hey, you know what another game changer was Boarding House. And I forgot to mention this at the top of the show, but we had that screening on Friday night, and it was awesome. It was totally sold out. People were going nuts for it. So yeah, Boarding House, total game changer.
You guys make me sick.
The last piece of...
I wanted to mention Ford Fairlane real quick.
Yeah.
I would love to do that movie. I want to do a bunch of Andrew Dice Clay movies. I want to do No Contest, where him and Roddy Piper. Dice Clay and Roddy Piper fight Shannon Tweed. That sounds like a good one. And also Brain Smasher, A Love Story, which is a movie I grew up watching because it was on HBO every single day. So I'm definitely down for some Dice Clay movies.
That guy touched my breast?
He did. I love it.
Emotionally.
All right,
He touched the soul of my breast with his good movies.
I've never heard Andrew Dice Clay movies referred to as good before, but I'll take you and Glenn's recommendation, and we'll get around to them. And I'll smoke a cigarette behind my head.
Oh.
Yeah. The last piece of junk mail we got is a voicemail. Two voicemails, actually, from a gentleman named Stefan.
Hello, Stefan, or Stefan, classy crass, whatever you want to call me. I'm sitting here looking at my Blu-ray collection, and I see the image, Riley Metzger. You should do that on the show. Some great shit in there. And I'll say the Licorice Quartet, Camille 2000, Tinto Brass, Kick the Cock. That's paired with Monomore. That's some Cold Epics release. It's a piece of shit, really. Don't pass it on that. New Caligula, seriously. You've been talking about doing a porn episode. It's not a straight-up porn movie, but Bob Guccione, he got his hands on that. And, well, we all know how that turned out. Yeah, but seriously, there's some Paul Natchi. There's some Paul Natchi in my collection. You can't have it. I see a VHS of the Willits over there, man. That's a cool movie. I've got The Quest. That kid from E.T., man. He's in there. And, shit, I got Madman. They Buy It, Ron Jeremy. Oh, talking about doing porn. That's not porn right there. No, seriously, I love you guys' work. You guys must be good friends to put up with each other. Really. Blood Lake, that's a piece of shit. You know, but that's awful, man. And the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, that fucking sucks. And I did check out Thrashing on Netflix. And I don't care if you have a thing for punk music or what. That's a piece of shit, too. And check out Baba Yaga. Take it easy.
Oh, that was one of the best voicemails we've ever gotten. Thank you, Stefan. And if that wasn't enough, he puts this little punctuation
Mark. It's Stefan again. I just saw on ESPN that fucking LeBron James is named MVP. Fuck him. Peace.
First of all, I don't know what an MVP is, but
most valuable basketball.
Oh. Mm-hmm. But yeah, fuck LeBron James.
Yeah, that MVP. Come on, that's retarded. How you gonna name this guy the MVP when he's got
MVP.
The other best basketball player on his team? It's silly.
This is silly. Garbage.
I'm upset about this. It should have been Dirk Nowitzki.
Absolutely. But yeah, thank you, Stefan, for calling in. You're always welcome to call in whenever you want because that voicemail was great. You're right. A lot of those movies you mentioned were pieces of shit. I do not.
Not Blood Lake, though.
Well, you're right about that, but you were wrong about Thrashing. That movie is not a piece of shit. But yeah, we'll have to get around to some of those ones you talked about. Caligula, again, we get recommendations for that all the time. And yeah, we'll. Paul Natchi, there's all kinds of good stuff.
Whole host of Paul Natchi to do.
Yeah, so thanks for calling in. If you'd like to be cool like these gentlemen and give us a call or leave us a voicemail or send us a email, you can do so by sending us an email at jfdpodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail on our voicemail line at 347-746-JUNK. That's 347-746-5865. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about junk food dinner. All right, so that being said, let's get into some nerd news. All right, the first piece of nerd news that we have is going back to the Avengers. And it seemed like every fucking piece of news that I pulled up this week was about the Avengers. So I tried to keep the Avengers news to a minimum, but I have two pieces of nerd news regarding the Avengers. First up, Avengers set second week records, again, taking in mad money. $103.2 million, still number one, and raking in over $1 billion globally combined since it premiered a couple weeks back. They beat Avatar's $75 million record, and they now have reached $1 billion. So maybe if they keep at this pace, they can pay back all the damage they did to New York City. But yeah, man, fucking, it's already the 11th on the all-time money-making list, and that's crazy considering it's only been out for, you know, a few weeks. I'm sure it will move up that list as the weeks go on, and it's crazy. $1 billion for the Avengers. So it seems like everybody's loving the Avengers, but some people aren't loving it. In fact, an adoption advocacy group is upset. I guess Thor from the Avengers makes an adoption joke that they feel was inappropriate.
Oh, really?
I swear to God, this is true.
Oh, my.
The joke is at the expense of Loki, the film's villain, an adopted son of the god Odin. Loki's brother Thor defends him to fellow Avenger Black Widow, who points out that Loki's killed 80 people in 2 days. Then Thor says he's adopted. This was heartbreaking to people from the adoption who thought it was a jab at adopted people. It's like, are you serious? Is this what we're getting?
Sack up.
I know. I mean, if anything, this is just perpetuating the stereotype that adopted people are sensitive and babies and whiners.
Yeah.
God, I mean, what the fuck? I mean, of all the things to get upset about, and I've heard about some ridiculous shit, this might be the most ridiculous thing.
It is way up there.
I've ever heard anyone launch any sort of campaign, but. But the article I read is, did the joke go too far? Fuck no.
Holy shit. Yeah. That is really sad.
Yeah. I mean, come on, Superman was adopted.
Whoa.
But yeah, the guy just says, I
can't
think...
say the A word.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, if this is the kind of shit people are getting offended over... It's going to be...
What else are you going to get offended about in the PG-13 superhero movie?
Right. Yeah, I'm sure there's... I don't know. Some activist group that's upset over the way Incredible Hulk portrays monsters or something. But yeah, this is ridiculous.
Stupid asshole!
All right.
I mean, Loki's also a frost giant monster. Are people upset about that? Obviously, he goes around killing people. Like, he's a frost giant monster, for God's sake. It's not because he's adopted. It's because he's a monster.
Right.
And he's adopted.
And he's adopted. And all adopted people are the scum of the earth. I'll go on record and say it.
Yeah,
I had to stand up to these people.
I remember one time I saw Problem Child on network television, and there's a line in that movie where somebody says, "He's not even a real kid; he's adopted." And in the edited for TV version, they changed it to, "He's not even a real kid; he's a devil."
Whoa, really?
Yeah,
that seems more offensive to me.
Exactly.
He's not even a real kid. He's a mother raper.
the 40s version of Problem Child.
But yeah, adopted people, get with it. Stop crying.
Get some parents.
Maybe if you had a mommy and daddy, you wouldn't be acting this way.
No, get hugged.
Yeah. Spend less time seeing the Avengers, more time finding some parents.
All right, moving on. Next piece of nerd news, we have something we can all get excited about. Looks like the trio of Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, and Nick Frost are about to team up for the long-awaited third movie in the Shaun of the Dead Hot Fuzz trilogy that we've been all clamoring for. The movie will be called The World's End. Working title and Edgar Wright have set a September start date for The World's End, the last in a trilogy of comedies that started with Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. Wright will direct and wrote the script along with Simon Pegg 20 years after attempting an epic pub crawl. Five childhood friends reunite when one of them becomes hellbent on trying the drinking marathon again. They are convinced to stage an encore by mate Gary King, a 40-year-old man trapped at the cigarette. A 40-year-old man trapped at the cigarette end of his teens, I guess that's some sort of British terminology, who drags his reluctant pals to their hometown and once again attempts to reach the failed pub, The World's End. As they attempt to reconcile the past and present, they realize the real struggle is for the future, not just theirs, but humankind's. reaching the world's end is the least of their worries. So again, you know, kind of in the tradition of Shaun of the Dead, going with kind of an apocalyptic theme and you know, a pub theme, and yeah, it seemed to work before. And I love these guys. I think they do really great stuff. I love Shaun of the Dead, of course, as we talked about on the show, and Hot Fuzz. So I'm excited about this. You guys excited for another Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost extravaganza?
Yeah, 100%.
Indeed. I like these guys. I like those movies. And if this keeps them busy and not doing Ant-Man, I think that would be really good, too.
Oh, come on.
I don't want to see an Ant-Man movie. I'm rereading the first Avengers comics now. And, like, you got Iron Man and Thor and Captain America fighting crime and fighting villains. And then they always try to, like, work some way into getting Ant-Man to be relevant. And it was pretty dumb for a 60s comic book. And I don't think in 2012 people will really buy a guy who has to shrink down and control ants in order to stop supervillains. I don't think it'll work out very well.
Yeah. Well, one thing you won't be excited about, or maybe you will be, but they're making the Scary Movie 5. Surprise, surprise. But Anna Faris will not be involved.
What?
Yeah, Anna Faris said last October that she was open to appearing in director Malcolm Lee's upcoming sequel, but she recently said that it's not going to happen. She says, no, I don't think I'm going to do it. She told Coming Soon. She says, I don't think I'll be a part of the sequel. I don't know exactly what's happening with it, but I hear it's sort of in the works. So she said, nope, not going to be in it. The Weinstein Company confirmed that Scary Movie 5 will likely be released on January 1st, 2013. So you can cure your New Year's Eve hangover with a trip to the theater to go see Scary Movie 5. But little else is known about the project. Ferris is currently starring with Sacha Baron Cohen in The Dictator, opening later this week, or later this month. And yeah, so... Would this be the first scary movie that she's not in? I stopped following the scary movies like after the second one.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know why they have to do another one of these.
Yeah. Yeah, they fell off quite a bit. Like, I think the first one is somewhat funny, and then the rest are just very awful. Despite the fact that David Cross is there, and Chris Elliott. You would think a movie with those two guys would be pretty funny. And Anna Faris, of course. Those guys were in the second one. But yeah, I didn't even see the third or fourth, I guess. But
are the Wayans brothers still involved in these things?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Are the Wayans brothers still involved in anything?
I think they're coasting on the Blu-ray sales of Little Man.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. Next piece of nerd news that I have, and this is some serious nerd news right here. I watched a trailer for a movie, a documentary called Skull World. Have you guys seen anything about this?
No,
it sounds metal.
It sounds metal, and it kind of is. It's Skull World follows 2 years in the life of Greg Summer, a.k.a. Skullman, as he builds the Canadian chapter of Box Wars, an international underground movement of cardboard-based combat. So this is a documentary about this guy. He's well into his 30s, he works in the graveyard, and in his free time, he and his buddies make, like, cardboard suits of armor and weaponry, and then they go out in fields and fight with it. And the goal, I guess, is to destroy your opponent's cardboard suit. And, yeah, he is Skullman. He's the leader of Box Wars in Canada. And I guess this shit happens all over in the United States and in Australia. Basically anywhere where there's nerdy white kids, you can find Box Wars. So you guys ever heard of this Box Wars or get involved with it at all?
I can't say that I have.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I've never been one to make fun of, people's nerdy pursuits unless it's, anime and, no, I mean, listen, we readily admit we're some fucking serious nerds. You know, we spend hours a week watching shitty movies and talking about them and trolling the internet, but man, dressing up in cardboard suits, and that just seems super nerdy. But who am I to judge? I mean, someone's making
a podcast.
Yeah, someone's making a documentary about this guy. No one's making a documentary about me.
Who Who are you to judge? You sound like a real bigot. You sound like North Carolina over here talking about, oh, I don't want to live in a state where these cardboard cutout fighters can fight and play. You're a bigot.
You know, I actually just did a little research while we were talking about it here, and it seems like most of these people involved in Box Wars are adopted.
I believe it. But anyway, this looks like a fun documentary. I mean, I love nerd documentaries. You know, I love the King of Kong. I love the Monster Camp.
Monster Camp, yeah.
I mean, any documentaries about super nerdy people are usually an entertaining watch, and I think this will be no exception. So if you're at the Cannes Film Festival, you get a chance to check out Skull World. The rest of us will have to wait until it becomes available, probably on home video. So keep your eyes peeled for Skull World coming soon. It's got a nice red band trailer featuring a lot of middle-aged guys cussing about cardboard.
Yeah, see, that sounds funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to watch this and make fun of these people because they are the scum of the earth.
No, listen, I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying
that. No, that's what I'm saying. I was, I know that I called you a bigot and everything, but I do totally agree. These people are awful. What they're doing is awful.
I don't
awful.
Think they're awful.
I agree with you. These people should all be sad. We're on the same page here.
Listen, it's okay to make fun.
I want to fist fight every one of these people. I agree with you.
All right. We'll just leave it at that. All right. So the next two pieces of nerd news that I have are, hey, this movie doesn't belong in this country. So the first one we have is Australia is getting into the Giallo game. Now, when you think Giallo, you think that's for the Italians only. But no, an upcoming movie called Sororal, I guess, S-O-R-O-R-A-L, will be the first Australian film to pay homage to the Giallo, according to the creative team behind it. Giallo, of course, is the Italian sexy crime suspense horror subgenre that features lurid colors, lots of blood, as well as interesting musical arrangements. It was made popular by directors Mario Bava, Dario Argento, and Sergio Martino in the late 60s and 70s. But yeah, this is an Australian movie. The synopsis says, a heady whirlwind of genetic experimentation, mind control, telekinetic power struggles, and twisted art revolve around Sororal's heroine, Cassie, a troubled artist who tries to make sense of her vivid violet dreams by committing her visions to canvas. This has a really awesome Giallo-esque poster, and I think this should be really cool. I like the stuff that has been coming out of Australia as of late, and you know, I like the classic Giallo, so if this is in the same vein, I think this could be a winner.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Yeah, it says it owes heavily to Suspiria and Blood and Black Lace, so...
Sounds great.
If you like those two movies, check out this movie. The next movie that doesn't belong in this country, we've got a ninja movie from Mexico. This is called...
All right!
Yeah, Ninjito, Mexican Ninja. This is just a 4-minute short, and it's available on YouTube. So just YouTube Ninjito. Hopefully more of these will come, because I sat down and watched this. It's only 4 minutes, and about 1 minute of that is credits, so it's very short. But it's about a Mexican ninja fighting a chupacabra. And
okay,
if that doesn't sound awesome to you, turn off the podcast.
You're adopted.
But this is from writer-director Josh Turnbow, and it was really fun, and hopefully we see a lot more of this. I don't know, you know, I don't know what the end game for this is, because it seems like, you know, only 3 minutes of fighting. It just whets your appetite for more, so hopefully this will get turned into a, you know, web series or maybe a full-length feature film. But yeah, Ninjito, Mexican Ninja, on YouTube now, so go check it out. And the last piece of nerd news that I have, not really news, but I read an interesting article from Wired magazine. This is about drug doubles, what actors actually toke, smoke, and snort on camera. You know, we've watched plenty of movies with drug use in it, and I'm always wondering, you know, what are these guys actually smoking?
Cabbage, right? Some dried cabbage.
No. Well, what they said, I'll go through the list here. For methamphetamine on Breaking Bad, they used rock candy. So, sounds sugary. For marijuana, they say that they use a non-tobacco herb that you can buy on, most online head shops. It looks like pot, it blazes like pot, but it does not get you high. So I don't know why anyone would order this if it's
why did somebody invent that?
If you're not making a movie. Yeah, it's like you want you know people to think you're smoking pot, but yeah, maybe it's like for like narcs, like when they go to
professional narcs.
Yeah, like when they go to fish concerts and stuff, they can be smoking one of these so people think they're cool. And then next thing you know, out come the handcuffs. But
No, I'm taking pot.
Yeah. In their Kmart tie-dye shirt. For cocaine, there's a rumor has it that Al Pacino really did plow through real cocaine on the set of Scarface. But in 2001's Blow, the actor snorted inositol, which is a powdered vitamin B. Sounds like a lot of fun.
In the future, that's just what people are going to snort to get high.
Yeah. And finally, crack cocaine. Ryan Gosling's character in Half Nelson was actually smoking a piece of a broken drinking mug that a prop artist dyed with coffee to make it look like the crack rock. A bit of tobacco provided the smoke, and voila, we've got crack cocaine. So if you want to impress your friends and do a bunch of drugs in front of them, but not die, take some tips from Hollywood. Do some fake drugs.
It seems like smoking ceramic mugs would be a lot more detrimental to your health than smoking crack.
I feel like crack might be pretty dangerous.
Well, we're going to have to do a science experiment. Come on, guys.
Any of our listeners want to send us smoking some heavy doobies.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess that answers the age-old question.
What kind of designer drug are you on?
All right, so let's get into some of the cool stuff on DVD and Blu-ray this week. The first release we have is The Gray from earlier this year, starring Liam Neeson, Dermot Mulroney, and directed by John Carnahan. After narrowly surviving a deadly plane crash in the Alaskan wilderness, a band of oil riggers must fend for their lives in the ice and snow, but thanks to wolves that view their presence as a threat, they aren't alone. I've heard he's pretty badass in this movie. I've heard good things about this. I didn't get a chance to see it when it was in theaters. I was disappointed. When I first heard about it, I thought it was Leslie Nielsen fighting wolves. But not the case. Do you guys have a chance to check out The Gray?
No, but I would. Yeah, I mean, Liam Neeson fighting a pack of wolves.
Mm-hmm. The title refers to his pubic hair, too, by the way.
His what? His beard hair?
Yes, I said beard hair.
Yeah, this could be the toughest movie of all time. If Liam Neeson rips like a t-shirt off of one of these wolves, it's going to be so masculine and great.
Oh, I bet those wolves have some cool t-shirts.
You get that right.
It's just t-shirts of paintings of dudes howling at the moon on them.
Yeah.
And one of them has that t-shirt that has a picture of a t-shirt on it with the X through it.
I don't do Mondays.
Next release we have is Chronicle, also from earlier this year, starring Michael Jordan. What? No, Michael B. Jordan. And directed by Josh Trank. Soon after, three teens stumble upon an unidentified substance in the Pacific Northwest woods. They begin to exhibit powers beyond their wildest dreams, but harnessing their newfound abilities proves far more challenging than they ever imagined. So this is another, you know, teens get unexpected superpowers kind of movie. I don't know. I didn't hear much about this. It's rated PG-13, and it's got Michael Jordan in it, but not the Michael Jordan, so I don't know if I'm...
Can this dude dunk?
I hope that's one of his superpowers. Otherwise, get out of here, fake Michael Jordan.
Yeah, this movie is actually really good. I was thinking about doing it on the show at some point. It's good. Good stuff. Good superhero kind of... Superpowered. Not so much superhero. Superpowered kind of stuff.
When my two-year-old's wearing shoes of it, then I'll get interested.
Now this is that underground stuff. These are those underground heroes.
Speaking of underground, we got The Devil Inside from earlier this year, directed by William Brent Bell. At once spooky and grisly, this thriller follows a woman's quest to find the truth behind claims her mother killed three people during an exorcism. The daughter's journey takes her to Italy, where she becomes involved in other exorcisms. This is another, you know, Jesus-y horror movie. I don't know why we have to do any more of these goddamn exorcism movies. The Exorcism did it right once and for all. We don't need to keep revisiting it. Every exorcism movie since The Exorcist has been awful. Then they seem to rehash these every so often. And, you know, they always kind of try to make them out like they're like the scariest shit ever. I think this is the one where they like showed, like the previous, like, we showed this movie in an abandoned church. And like, and like they showed people's reactions when they're coming out of it. It's just like, God, enough. Enough of this stupid shit. I don't need any more Jesus horror movies, so I don't know. You guys have any interest in seeing The Devil Inside?
Nope.
Mm-mm.
All right. It's agreed upon. Nobody see it. How about Rampart from 2011, starring Woody Harrelson? Dave Brown is a dirty cop with a mile-wide mean streak as he roams the streets, meting out justice. The LAPD sinks into corruption and scandal. The countdown to Brown's judgment is on the fact-based film co-written by crime novelist James Ellroy. So, I like the idea of Woody Harrelson as a dirty cop, but I don't know. It's got Robin Wright in it, formerly Robin Wright Penn.
No, thanks.
No?
Yeah, that doesn't sell me on anything.
All right. How about this? The Walking Tall trilogy. Out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Now, you guys might have seen the Walking Tall remake starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but this is the original Walking Tall movie starring Joe Don Baker. Walking Tall based on the true life of Tennessee Sheriff Buford Pusser. That's not a very tough name. who almost single-handedly cleaned up his small town of crime and corruption, but at a personal cost of his life and his family's. Walking Tall Part 2. Pusser continues his one-man war against moonshiners and ruthless crime syndicate after the murder of his wife. The final chapter, Walking Tall, the final years in the life of Pusser. I don't think that's how you pronounce his name, but I'm going to anyway. After his retirement from the police force, where he tries to make amends to his friends and family and cooperate with the film crew, shooting a movie based on his life. But yeah, these are the three original Walking Tall movies starring Joe Don Baker, very popular amongst action and cult fans, and like I said, spawned a remake starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson 10 years ago. But these movies are fun. If you like Joe Don Baker, kicking ass, taking names, classic kind of vigilante justice stuff in the vein of, you know, the Death Wish movies and all that fun stuff. So if you haven't seen them already, now is a perfect time to get all three of them in one swoop with the Walking Tall trilogy out on DVD and Blu-ray this week from Shout Factory. Have you guys seen any of these original Walking Tall movies?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I like that first one. The first one's the only one I've seen in the remake.
Yeah, they're fun.
Indeed. Joe Don Baker's always good.
You got that right.
He was so good in his day that they made all of Joysticks about him. For some reason.
That's true. You know who else is also always fun? Bill Paxton. And if you like Bill Paxton,
that's true.
You can check him out in Mortuary from 1981.
Oh, yes.
Bill Paxton, Christopher George, and Linda Day George star in this chilling tale of horror-filled nightmares that come startlingly close to reality. Christy Parson, played by Mary McDonough from The Waltons, has been having terrifying nightmares ever since her father drowned in a family swimming pool. Yeah, that'll give you nightmares. She knows his death was not an accident, but who will believe her? That is, until her boyfriend Greg, played by David Wallace from Humongous, sees a hooded figure identical to the one that Christy has described as being in her nightmares in the town's mortuary. So yeah, Bill Paxton, I don't know where he plays into this. Have you seen Mortuary?
Yeah.
What's Bill Paxton doing in there?
Just hanging out, acting nuts, yelling.
Yeah,
you know, Paxton stuff.
Cool.
Paxton stuff.
He's Paxtoning the hell out of this movie.
Nice. On Blu-ray this week, we've got Kill Bill 1 and 2, double feature on one disc. Now, we're getting closer to what I want, which is the Kill Bill Whole Bloody Affair, which they've been promising for fucking years, and I've been holding off on buying any version of Kill Bill, because I figure any moment now they're going to release the Whole Bloody Affair, you know, the way it was meant to be seen, like 4 straight hours of Kill Bill and all its glory. And that's, you know, people say, that's nuts. Why do you want to sit through 4 hours of Kill Bill? I do.
Because it's awesome.
Yeah, I want to see it how it was originally meant to be seen. And like I said, they've been teasing it for a long time. And I know immediately as soon as I break down and I buy one of these Kill Bill Blu-rays or DVDs, they're going to release it the next week. And so to avoid that happening, I'm just not going to buy it until they come out. But so if you've been holding out, but you want both of them, you can get Kill Bills 1 and 2 on one Blu-ray. Still not the Whole Bloody Affair, but one step closer, I think. So we shall see. Also getting the re-release treatment, we got Being John Malkovich gets the Criterion Collection on Blu-ray and DVD, the 1999 movie about a guy, a puppeteer that discovers a portal into John Malkovich's brain. I don't know. I really liked this movie when it came out. I haven't watched it in a while. Directed by Spike Jones, starring John Malkovich, John Cusack, and Cameron Diaz. Have you guys watched this recently? Or what are your thoughts on this movie? Does it still hold
up? I love this movie. It's got to still be good. I haven't watched it in a long time, but there's no way that I wouldn't still like it.
Yeah, I've only seen it the once, but it was pretty good then. So I imagine it's probably still pretty good.
Yeah.
Although I hate that Cameron Diaz a lot more than I did when I first saw it. So maybe... maybe that will sully the film for me, me personally.
Yeah. Well, she's not in a typical Cameron Diaz role in this movie, though, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah. One movie that I'm sure will hold up 13 years later is Dirty Blondes from Beyond from 2012. When the Galaxy Under Attack... Wait, sorry. With the Galaxy Under Attack, Princess Farah and her beautiful bodyguard flee to a strange alien planet, Earth, pursued by the evil Empress and her henchwomen. The two escaping space babes go undercover to elude their enemies and the mysterious government. Yeah, I don't know. This has a bunch of porn stars or near porn stars pretending to be aliens. It's described as an erotic comedy romp with a sci-fi twist from the cult movie experts at Retro Media Entertainment. The DVD features a widescreen transfer stereo surround, because you need that in a movie like this, and contains bonus trailers. You guys into this?
Well, if it was made by experts, yeah. Yeah, I am.
Do you like bonus trailers?
Yeah, I like that that's like one of their big selling points. That's what they mentioned second.
Yeah.
Is that they have bonus trailers.
Well, if you like those experts at Retro Media Entertainment, they've got another one coming out. Busty Housewives of Beverly Hills in Hypnovisto, presented in the exciting new film process, Hypnovisto, when Rinaldi, the world's worst hypnotist, inherits a mansion in Beverly Hills with his wife, Kelly McCarty. He also acquires a magical amulet that gives him special powers over women. Soon, every Beverly Hills housewife has her sights set on him. Busty Housewives of Beverly Hills is a laugh-packed erotic caper from the cult movie Authorities. They were experts in the last one. Now they're authorities at Retro Media Entertainment. DVD features the same as above. And a bonus feature where they explain what Hypnovisto is. So if you want to be hypnotized by Busty Housewives, check out Busty Housewives of Beverly Hills in Hypnovisto. Out now on DVD. But if you're going to be watching that, you might as well just watch straightforward pornography. And that is why Debbie Does Dallas is being released on DVD now. I don't know what the deal with this is, because this was on Amazon. And last I checked, Amazon does not sell straight-up pornography. So I'm guessing this is probably an edited version. This is from K Erotica Vintage. But this, is the classic 70s porno starring Bambi Woods. It seems like this was like the go-to porn reference. Whenever, like, in a movie somebody found porno or mentioned porno, Debbie Does Dallas was always the reference. So I don't know if they edited all the porno out of this and are releasing it, or if Amazon is now just, if you have a classic status, they'll carry you as a porno movie. I don't know. Either way, buyer beware. It might not be what you're expecting, but Debbie Does Dallas out on DVD this week. You guys ever seen Debbie Does Dallas?
Sadly, I have not.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of people doing entire cities.
Yeah. And rightfully so.
Sounds like it would take a long time.
It's a very long movie. It's like 16 hours long.
Yeah, I love that they did a bunch of sequels to this too, and they always had to be cities that started with a D to like keep in the you know, the tradition of the first one. And so like by like the third movie, they were like really stretching for cities, because like first it was like Debbie Does Dallas, then it was like Debbie Does Denver, then it was like Des Moines, and then they're like
Detroit,
and then they're like now what do we do? Dayton, when Ohio.
Dayton.
That's when they stopped doing them. Yeah. They're like, well, it's the 17th movie. We can go to Dayton. They're like, no, let's just cancel the franchise. That's gross.
Yeah. All right. So we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to jump into our first movie of the evening, Olam Savisi, or Death Warrior from 1984. So stick around.
Hi, this is Kevin Batchelder. And this is the Saturday B Movie Reel.
Do something. Shoot it! Shoot it!
That's about describes it, yeah.
All right, everybody stay here.
We look specifically at the Sci-Fi Channel's original movies. You know the ones. The ones that air on Saturday night.
Be known throughout the ages as an instant classic.
We need a bigger gator!
Limb cutting, yes. And blood squirting from...
Flying limbs, I called it in my notes.
What could go wrong?
We look on a regular basis at the movies as they come out, and since there have been over 200 of them, we do go back and look at many of them that are now out on DVD. By this point, I had completely forgotten any semblance of seeing if this actually makes any sense from a plot point of view. So come on by, get involved, and have some fun.
Check us out at SaturdayBMovieReel.com.
Our future depends on it. Make it safe.
Episode 109. The first film on the show this evening is Olam Savisi, or Death Warrior. This was a film that I had never heard of, but was sent to us by listener Joe from Sweden, who works for the Easter Bunny. He sent us this DVD. He made packaging for it. He sent us a bonus disc. He sent it to all three of us. Really went the extra mile on this, and we thank you Joe. This is really nice. I'm looking at the case right now. Custom made. Very cool. So this film is from 1984. It stars and was directed by Kunyet Arkin, who has upwards of 300 acting credits on IMDb, none of which I can pronounce, dating all the way back to Four Question Marks. So this guy's been around for a while. I think everybody would probably know him mostly from Turkish Star Wars. That seems to be his claim to fame. The movie itself concerns a guy and a bunch of other people doing things. there's a monster that's like it's made out of melted ice cream. There are a lot of humongous swords and sounds that don't sound like anything made on Earth. There are some love interests. There's a lot of fighting. But the main star of this movie are the subtitles. So yeah, these subtitles are not of this Earth. They are English and other things. There's a lot of spelling errors and like special characters in there. I started to make a list of the subtitles that I thought were super funny, but pretty quickly realized that it was like, damn near every other line. This movie is absurd, totally crazy. If you name it like a crazy thing that happens in a movie, chances are it's in this. I actually saved this to last to watch this week, and I watched it today, and I had to text Kevin in the middle of it and just affirm that it was actually as crazy as I thought it was, and it is. So I'm not entirely sure what's going on. Ninjas came back, also some bats came back to life. So there's like zombie ninjas and rapid fire arrows. It's very hard to describe this movie. What did you guys think of Death Warriors?
Yeah, this is one that I had not heard of either. I don't think many people have heard of this movie. I don't think it's, you know, especially in the United States, a movie that a lot of people are going to be familiar with. It gets dubbed sometimes in the bootleg circuit, as a lot of these Turkish movies do, like Turkish Star Wars. This was dubbed as Turkish Evil Dead, which is kind of misleading, because the only thing that it shares in common with the Evil Dead, as far as I can tell, is they do really ape the flying, you know, through the trees kind of shot that Evil Dead popularized. And they do that quite a bit. I mean, you see that and you're like, oh, they're ripping off the Evil Dead. But other than that, it's...
Well, there's like a possessed tree at one point, too.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But that's it. And yeah. I guess they're zombies, maybe.
Right. I mean, it's certainly not a Evil Dead, like, spoof or ripoff in any way.
No.
It's mostly... Another thing that this also gets dubbed as, because the star and director of this movie, this Kunyet Arkin, he gets dubbed as the Turkish Chuck Norris on occasion, I read on some websites. So, and that seems kind of accurate, because the guy that stars in this, he's like the least assuming badass you'd ever... I mean, he looks like one of your dad's friends or something, you know what I mean? Like, he's this middle-aged guy, older than middle-aged, I'd say, you know, maybe well into his 50s at this point. I mean, he's got like gray hair, maybe in his 40s. But anyway, he doesn't look like your typical badass. But this movie has a lot of him... in karate outfits, fighting these like weird ninjas that kind of look like they're in the Ku Klux Klan. there's all kinds of weird fight scenes. I mean, some of the martial arts in this actually isn't too bad. I mean, it's cheesy, and it's, you know, early 80s, and it's Turkish, so it's not the most badass stuff you've ever seen. But some of the actual fight scenes are actually kind of pretty entertaining. But like you said, the real star of the show is the subtitles. Now, I don't know where these subtitles came from, and we might have to get Joe to kind of elaborate on these, because I've seen other copies of this movie like sold by bootleggers and stuff that don't have subtitles. There's actually a copy of this movie up on YouTube right now in like 8 parts, but it doesn't have the subtitles. It's just in its original Turkish language with no subtitles, which if you see it that way, you're really missing out because, as Mark mentioned, the subtitles were really half the fun was because they're all – I mean, whoever wrote these subtitles had a very limited grasp of the English language, but it makes for a really hilarious time, just some of the translations and some of the you know, the misspellings and the weird put together sentences. The one thing that I think is unfortunate about this movie, because this movie is surprisingly stylish and I think it looks really cool, despite like how crappy it looks at times. There's some really stylized editing and some things that, like, if you were just to take them out in bits and like little chunks, like you could make like a really awesome like music video or something out of some of the short scenes in this movie. But one of the things that I think is unfortunately a detriment to this movie is the sound design, and I use design in very heavy quotation marks, is just some of the worst shit I've ever heard. I mean, it really sounds like they were trying to torture you with the sound in this movie. From the special effects to the music to the dialogue to the weird like shrieking and the weird just random noise that comes out of your speakers when you're watching this movie, it is almost unwatchable just because of the sound. I mean, it is fucking maddening, the sound in this movie. So what I did is I watched it once with the sound, but when I watched this with my girlfriend, and we just because you got subtitles, so you know what's going on, we just put on some music and just turned the sound down and watched it with the music on, and that made for a much more enjoyable experience. So I would recommend people do that as well. You're not really missing anything if you just turn the sound off and
I was gonna say I disagree with that. I love the crazy, often grating sound.
Very grating.
The one thing that it reminded me of was Magic of the Universe, which I also loved the sound design on. So I think it's an acquired taste, but I think I'm not hating on listening to music over movies. I think that's awesome. But this one, yeah, I think if you can get into it, then it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Different strokes.
So you guys had subtitles, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Different than my experience watching this film.
You didn't put on the subtitles?
I didn't know that was an option.
Yeah.
Did you hit the subtitle button?
Yeah, you have to turn them on.
No, I was watching it on my Xbox. There's no button for that.
Oh.
It wouldn't work,
man.
In my Blu-ray player. So yeah, so as you might imagine, this was... this was a bit rougher for me.
Wait, now, what do you think was happening?
I had no idea. I just started watching it like... I just took every scene as its own thing. Like, I wasn't trying to put them together at all because I knew that would be folly. So I was like, all right, cool. A cool mummy movie. All right, now a sexy romance movie here on the rocks where this guy's just touching this girl's boobs. And now we got ninjas. So, yeah, those ninjas. Well, first, I want to talk about the sound, like you said. The sound was just wretched in this. It sounded like that band Tonight Golden Curls that used to play at Wright State every once in a while. Just wretched stuff. There's a scene where two guys are walking down some stairs, and it sounds like there are 30 guys walking down these stairs. And it sounds like if you were like wearing cowboy boots and walking down metal stairs, but those stairs look pretty carpeted to me. It was like in an apartment or building or something like that. And then there's a girl who's running through the forest, like running away from ninjas or something. And it sounds like 10 paladins wearing full plate mail running through the forest together.
Man, you had to get a plug for paladins in here.
I love paladins. And yeah, I mean, it was just crazy. Like, it's just this one dainty little lady running through foliage. And it sounded like people were just slamming garbage cans into each other. The old-timey metal ones that Tommy Dreamer uses. Speaking of Tommy Dreamer, the main dude in this movie fights a lot like CM Punk. Like, it's a lot of Hurricane Ranas and arm bars and stuff like that. So I thought that was really cool.
I don't know what that means.
CM Punk's a wrestler.
Oh.
He fights like this guy. Maybe he was trained by this guy, this main dude, this death warrior. The ninjas in this movie, they have weird extra head parts, it seems. They're wearing these masks, these cowls over their head. And they look like maybe if you took the mask off, they would be Gumby, because they have all these lumpy-headed extra head parts. Also, their eye holes are not cut, like, with precision. They look like they were just, like, ripped with the fingers. So they kind of look like in Jason Part 2 when he wore that burlap sack. there's a part where the mummy sneaks into a guy's house and breaks one of the records he's playing. And I like that a lot. I like to do that to my friends to scare them. Just break their records while they're spinning. And then put them back on the turntable.
Yeah, that record broke in a bunch of pieces.
Yeah, they really smashed that. And so I mean, this movie is pretty good. I guess it would probably be better with the subtitles. I guess I'll have to try that out if I can.
Yeah, no, the subtitles, like I said, really are...
just wonderful.
Yeah, they're hilarious. I mean, we were when my girlfriend and I were watching this, we were just fucking losing our shit over some of these subtitles, and I did not have the foresight to write them down. Give me a couple that you had.
I mean, what was that one that I texted you? Ninja fuck you all tonight or something.
That sounds great. I might have to watch this again tonight.
Yeah,
man, Parker, I'm telling you, they are. As a fan of the English language that I know you are, you're gonna need to see these with the subtitles.
Yeah, Ninja will fuck you all.
Yeah, Ninja will fuck you all. Say he won't.
But yeah, so this movie also has an awesome poster, which is great.
Yeah,
which features Sun Yat Arkin striking his best pose with a bunch of motorcycle guys doing jumps in the background, and Joel recreated that on the DVD for us. So I would love to say, you know, go out and check this movie out, but I don't know how you would acquire a copy of this, because I don't think it was ever commercially released on VHS or DVD in the United States. So my best suggestion is start your own podcast, gain some Swedish fans.
After about 2 years, someone will send you one.
Right. But no, I mean, definitely seek out a copy of this, because it's a really weird, obscure kind of oddity from the realm of Turkish cinema, which has a lot of weird oddities to be found. And this one, I think, is definitely an entertaining watch. But if you do find it, really, you got to get the one with the subtitles, because I know there's plenty of copies out there that don't have the subtitles. So, if anyone knows that if this was ever released domestically on VHS or anything, I would love to know about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Joel, for taking the time to make us these DVDs and to send us the the packaging and putting it all together for us. That was really awesome, so thank you.
Very cool. Yeah. Cool. Well, I think that just about wraps up our discussion of Death Warrior from 1984. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk Demolition High. So stick around.
We gotta let the people know.
I know you will find this hard to believe, but podcasting is not a lucrative business. In fact, Kevin, Mark, and Barker barely have enough money to feed their gambling, drug, and pornography addictions. So, needless to say, they cannot afford big advertising campaigns to promote the show. That's where you come in. Do you enjoy what you hear every week? Help spread the word about Junk Food Dinner by telling your friends about us. These can be real, flesh and blood friends, or just some creeps you talk to on movie-related message boards. Either way, don't keep JFD all to yourself. Spread the word, you selfish bastard. Just kidding, you know we love you, baby.
And if you like it and you want it, you'll get greedy for it! You'll want it every day of your life, and it can happen to you!
Violence rules, guns are cool, and we've got guns in our school. Violence rules, guns.
over, Lenny. Are you going to come out like a good little boy? Or do I have to come in there and get you?
Promise you won't hurt me?
I promise.
You know, some I find that hard to believe. Come on, lady, you promised.
You were right, Lenny. But I had my fingers crossed. Now say goodbye.
Well, the old saying's true. The pen really is mightier than the sword.
Welcome back to Junk Food Dinner. The next movie we'll be talking about is Demolition High, a straight-to-video movie from 1996, starring the legendary, brilliant, beautiful Corey Haim. This is a movie that I've been vaguely aware of for many years, but I never watched because, you know, I owned the Corey Haim, Corey Feldman proverbial coin, but anytime I flipped it, it always landed squarely on Feldman. So I never got too into these Haim solo projects the way I got into everything that Corey Feldman did. And that seems like a terrible mistake, because upon watching this movie, Corey Haim fucking rules, and his movies are absolutely bonkers. This movie, I mean, you know, to judge them all on this one, I suppose. he also did a horror movie with Slater from Saved by the Bell, so I'm using that to base my judgments as well. But this movie is directed by Jim Warnarski, who did all these cool things, Chopping Mall and whatnot. And it stars Corey Haim as Lenny Slater, a kid from the Bronx who's tough, street smart, sarcastic. He comes to this new school in, I guess, West Coast suburbia. And on his, I guess, first day, all hell breaks loose. In the midst of this day, some weird terrorists, one of which is played by Jeff Kober, the leader, they break into an establishment where Buck Flower is working security, and which is amazing that Buck Flower is in a movie where his character has a job. That was the first time I've ever seen that. And sadly, it couldn't last long because 67 seconds into this movie, he gets blown away by the bad guys. Spoiler alert. So these bad guys, they kill Buck Flower. They kill a bunch of security guards. They steal some stuff. They get in trouble with the cops. The cops chase them down. They go to Corey Haim's high school. And they take the place over. They hold everybody hostage. Luckily, it's after school. So there's only like 20 kids. That they take, because paying that many extras would have been rough.
Yeah, Jim Wynorski knows how to stretch a budget.
He got that right. So Corey Haim, being the street smart tough that he is, he has to wander around in the school and sort of covertly take out some of these terrorists with the help of two other kids. One kid that makes fun of him greatly. There's one scene where, before the terrorist stuff happens, where the tough guy kids at this school, two tough guy like sidekicks, they go, "Hey, main tough guy kid, come over here and look at this new kid, Corey Haim. Look what he's doing." And they just watch him play basketball for a little while, and they're like, "Oh, he's really got it coming." I thought that was very funny. They're just watching him play basketball like it was some sort of thing. The principal in this film, whose name is Mr. Vogel, is played by Garrett Graham, who is awesome and is in all the best movies we talk about on this show. He was Chud 2, Chud the Bud the Chud, rather. He was also in Terrorvision. Chud the Bud. Yeah, well, that Chud was kind of a bud. He's my buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Alan Thicke plays a tough New York cop and the father of Corey Haim. Dick Van Patten plays a general. I think I only know him from Meatballs. He was in, or not Meatballs, but Spaceballs. He was in Spaceballs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I know him from. I don't know anything about that. No, wasn't that his brother?
Oh, yeah.
The security guard at this school is the molesty stepdad from Freddy's Dead. So it was good to see him. I've never seen him in anything else. I liked seeing him in this. This movie has a great character named Bernie throughout the film. One of the plans to stop the terrorists that comes down from some federal agents is to turn off all the power in town. So they call up the guy who's in charge of the power plant, and they say, hey, we need you to shut it down. And he's like, all right. And then he tells his secretary, who shares an office with him for some fucking reason, he says, hey, give me Bernie on the line. And then she gets Bernie on the line, and then the guy's like, hey, Bernie, stay alert, because I might need you to shut down all the power. And he's just like, you got it, boss. And several other times in the movie, they call Bernie, and no matter what they say, he's very subservient, very willing to go along with their plan. It's great. Despite the fact that later on his life is in mortal danger. But it's very superfluous, his scenes. They could have easily not had Bernie answer the phone and say this stuff. That's why I love him. I love this character of Bernie. Completely extra. But anyway, so Corey Haim, he's fighting these terrorists. He kills them in a lot of fun, cool ways. In one scene, he slicks up a floor real nice. He's in shop class. He starts up one of those drill saw things, a big, huge dealie that Jason might use to kill somebody. Saw. Whatever it is. It's like a saw, but I guess it doesn't drill. What is it called then?
Power saw. Shop class. Saw.
Yeah. All right. I didn't know that you were Mr. Burcham over here. I didn't know that you knew everything about making a house.
Mark the Tool Man Fredo.
Drill Saw is the name of the band I was in high school, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so he sets up this circular saw at the end of the slippery stuff. He goes, hey, bad guy. The bad guy comes running in. He slips on the slippery stuff and dives headfirst into the saw and dies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was awesome.
Super cool. And a lot of other stuff like that. He puts a bunch of like calligraphy pens into a fire extinguisher, shoots that at somebody. That kills them. All kinds of fun, interesting ways to kill people. Despite the fact that these terrorists are just dropping Uzis off every time they die, he doesn't really pick them up. He picks one up once and then just puts it back down. But anyway, so this movie is super fun. It's a nice mix of like being good enough to watch, you know, just in general. It's got, you know, a lot of bad stuff going on. It's not very well made. So there's, you know, also some ironic sort of campy elements to it. But, you know, so it sort of combines the good for goodness's sake and good for badness's sake in a nice mixture. And it's got a really cool cast. It's got a lot of fun action, got a lot of goofy dialogue, especially when it comes to the bully. No matter what Corey Haim comes up with, like he's always coming up with these plans, like the aforementioned slippery stuff, circular saw plan. And no matter what he comes up with and how many terrorists he has killed so far in the movie, the bully's always like, what kind of lame brain idea do you have now? And I think that's really fun. You think at some time after he killed like four terrorists, the guy would just be like, all right, this sounds like a pretty good plan. Let's do this. But yeah, I think this movie is absolutely great. I love it. I love Corey Haim. Love this movie. What do you guys think of it?
Well, I don't share your love for Corey Haim. In fact, when you first recommended this movie, that was, in my opinion, one of the major detractors. Because I love Jim Wynorski. You know, as you talked about, he is the director of Chopping Mall, which we talked about on the show, which I love. He also did Deathstalker 2, Not of This Earth. He's done so many good movies. The Return of Swamp Thing. So many good ones. I actually just the other night watched Papatopoulos, the documentary about him. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
How was it?
It was good. It was really good. I mean, he seems like a total asshole. But nevertheless, watching it makes you want to make a movie because, well, like, if this guy can do it. But yeah, no, I mean, Jim Wynorski's stuff, he's a king of schlock. And so that I was excited about. But Corey Haim, I don't know. Something about him always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. We talked about this when we talked about Prayer of the Roller Boys. And he's been in some good movies, don't get me wrong. And I like Prayer of the Roller Boys. And I like, you know, Lost Boys and License to Drive and stuff. But came to a point, and this was about the point in his career where once Corey Haim got into his 20s. By the way, Corey Haim is 25 years old when he made this movie. He's playing a high school junior. But he and he co-produced this movie. And Corey Haim wanted to be a big star. He didn't want to be a teen heartthrob anymore. So he tried to kind of like do these action movies like Prayer of the Roller Boys. This clearly is his Die Hard movie. He thought this was going to turn him into Bruce Willis or something. And I love, you know, he's got the catchphrases in this, you know, school's out when he throws a terrorist out the window. He says school sucks at one point when he's running from the terrorists and stuff like this. So I don't know. The presence of Corey Haim made me think I was going to not like this movie. But lo and behold, like Parker said, I love this. I thought this was really fun. I was very surprised at how much I liked this movie, actually. Because I didn't know what to expect. The terrorists are very cartoony and over the top. I mean, this guy Luther, played by Jeff Cooper, is great. His kind of right-hand lady, Tanya, played by Melissa Bracelle, she's really fun and over the top. Although I don't think you would be murdered just by the very tips of calligraphy pens piercing your skin. I don't think that would kill you, but apparently it does. But yeah, there's some great, hilarious, disposing of these terrorists. It's, you know, a classic Die Hard hostage situation where you got Alan Thicke and Dick Van Patten, outside the school, kind of trying to figure out what's going on, and Corey Haim's like their inside man, and he's sneaking around, like I said, very Die Hard style, trying to take out these terrorists. But yeah, this was a ton of fun. I was really surprised at how much I liked this. And very disappointed to find out that this never got released on DVD. I had a brief VHS run when it was originally released in 1986, but that was about it. I'd say this is probably maybe the biggest cast of any Jim Wynorski movie, between Corey Haim, Alan Thicke, Dick Van Patten. That's the most stars you will ever see in a Jim Wynorski movie. This is the least amount of breast you'll actually ever see in a Jim Wynorski movie. despite the fact that Michelle Brazel, sports a lot of cleavage, you never actually see any breast in this movie. Which is fine. You don't need them in this. You got plenty of action and explosions going on to entertain you. I also found out, and I didn't realize this, but I thought it was hilarious, this movie was referenced in the Paul Thomas Anderson movie Magnolia, which I find hilarious. I guess there's a scene where kids are talking about a movie that they're waiting for a callback for, and they say it's an Alan Thicke, Corey Haim high school terrorism movie.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so that's pretty hilarious. This was referenced in Magnolia, which is great. But yeah, no, this is super fun. If you haven't seen this, and chances are you probably haven't, go seek out a copy. And if you're a fan of the show, I think you'll dig it.
Yeah, I had no real expectations going into this. It sounded okay. The poster looked kind of whack. Yeah, this was pretty fun. All the kills are pretty nuts. I don't really at any point believe that Corey Haim is like a badass or anything though, so I don't know. But yeah, this was fun.
He's from the Bronx, man. Everybody from the Bronx is tough. You should know that.
Well, I would agree with that, maybe, except that yesterday I went to the Bronx Zoo and nobody there was tough. unless it's tough to wear a Hard Rock Cafe shirt. But yeah, so not buying it. But yeah, that being said, I thought the drill saw kill was fucking awesome. I thought that was like one of the cooler things I've seen in one of these movies. I thought the terrorist lady was a fox. Hate Alan Thicke. yeah, I don't know. This was fun. I had never heard of this, so I had, like I said, no expectations, but it exceeded it.
Yeah, it exceeded no expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, I was sad to see Garrett Graham was kind of underutilized in this, I thought. I mean, spoiler alert, he gets killed fairly early on in the movie, and the role he does play is kind of straight-laced and doesn't really give him a chance to kind of ham it up Garrett Graham style. But nevertheless, just his presence was enough to be like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Double G's.
There's a scene where the terrorists show up and like point a gun at him, and he just starts weeping, more or less. that's pretty good.
Yeah, he does just like break down immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also... go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, I also like the fact, being a Jim Wynorski fan, that at the beginning of this movie, a couple kids talk about how Coach Wynorski is having an affair with one of the students.
Mm-hmm.
Playing off on Jim Wynorski's real-life creepiness. I like the fact that he's able to poke fun at himself.
Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, part of the cops' plan to stop this terrorist plot is to turn off all the power. And when they do that the first time, when they call Bernie and they turn off the power, the terrorists like call their huge cell phones and they're like, hey, we're terrorists. And we're pretty upset that you turned off all the power. We need you to go ahead and turn it back on or we're going to kill people. And then the cops are like, okay. And that's it. Like, I guess they didn't anticipate that the terrorists would be mad about turning off the power.
Yeah, these cops are some of the worst negotiators ever in this movie.
Yeah, they're really bad negotiators. And then the terrorists are really bad terrorists. Like, they do something, like, Corey Haim kills his first terrorist, and, like, the main terrorist finds out about it, and he calls the cops, and he's like, hey, I know you guys got a man in here, and because of that, we're going to start killing people. But they don't kill anybody. They just throw Gary Graham, who they already killed at this point, out the window. You would think they would really actually kill somebody. Like, they kill so very few people in this movie, these terrorists.
Yeah, I also love the fact that no matter when you watch this movie, you will not forget what year this was made, because if you had any question, you would just look at the ever-present oversized flannel shirts that all the male wear in this movie, and you'll know, 96, yes.
Yes.
Right on the nose.
That about does it for Demolition High. If you enjoy this movie, we'll be doing the sequel, Demolition University, next week. But in
where
the meantime,
Corey Haim was only 42 years old.
In the meantime, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with Dr. Alien.
Please, my father was Dr. Alien.
Call me Mr. Alien.
Tired of only hearing your junk food dinner host talk, are you? You want to start talking to them? Then pick up your Zach Morris-like cellular phone and dial 347-746-JUNK. That's 347-746-5865. Leave us a message about the movies we've talked about. Did we give a good review to a movie you think sucks? Did we take a crap on your favorite movie? Let us know. Or call it to suggest a movie, or tell us why you hate LeBron James. Remember to leave a name and the city you represent when you call. We're very lonely and rarely hear the voices of other humans.
So dial this number now if you dare. Tell them that he sent you.
Everyone is talking about spaceships. To the moon they all want to go. But there's one thing about spaceships that every girl wants to know. Oh, will there be space in a spaceship for a girl and boy to make love? Will there be room to hold him near when you're zooming through the stratosphere? How can you kiss in a missile? No place to park and stars above. They say nice to feel weightless, but must a girl and boy go dateless? So will there be space in a spaceship for a girl and boy to make love? Countdown,
countdown,
blast off,
blast off.
Will there be space in a spaceship?
Wesley.
He's such a good boy.
He's a model student.
What's the matter, retard? Can't you talk?
But when it comes to girls...
Have you even talked to her?
He's got a lot to learn.
Studies have shown that guys get much further with girls after they talk.
It's time he got his education.
I'm Miss Zenobia, the new biology teacher.
Holy Mother of God!
She has come to teach.
Sexual reproduction. Any volunteers?
Me.
You see, I'm researching new forms of vitamins.
And Wesley is the perfect subject.
Now drop your pants.
What happened, man? Your mom slipped some Viagra into your milk or something?
He's an experiment out of control.
She gave me some kind of shot. I seem to be having some after effects.
What kind of effects?
He's growing out of his head.
Gross.
Is it working?
Oh, yes, it's working.
Now, the school brain...
He's been chosen for a greater purpose.
...has become the most popular student body.
Teach me the meaning of the word pleasure.
Give it to me now.
Doctors from another world...
Let me get this straight. You guys are aliens from another planet.
Have made him the most wanted man on Earth.
I'm being chased by aliens. Ah! Radical.
Far out.
What the hell is this?
You're a man and I'm a woman.
I'm with you so far.
Good work, son.
The Earth boy stole the last bottle of the formula.
Judy Landers, Troy Donahue, Edie Williams, and Billy Jacoby. Dr. Alien.
Welcome back to Junk Food Dinner, episode 109. The final film we're going to be taking a look at on this episode tonight is Dr. Alien from 1989. This is a... I don't know if it's straight to video, but it may as well be. Schlock masterpiece from director David D. Couteau. If the name sounds familiar to you, it means that you watched some cheesy VHS movies in the late 80s, early 90s. In addition to Dr. Alien, he did Creepazoids, which is a mainstay where I'm from when it comes to bad movies. Also, Test Tube Teens in the year 2000, Petticoat Planet. Anything released basically under the Cult Video imprint was directed by this guy. He also... did some porno back in the day, including New Wave Hustlers, the one of the sequels to New Wave Hookers, and also did some of the Puppet Master movies, like Puppet Master 3 and Pre-Hysteria 3, which people often say we should check out. So this guy, you know, he did a lot of video store classics, and this is one that I've been wanting to see for a long time. This is his foray into the world of sci-fi sex comedies. This movie stars Billy Jacoby, aka Billy Jane, who we talked about. He was the younger brother in Just One of the Guys, as well as one of Parker Lewis's friends on Parker Lewis Can't Lose. This also stars his brother, Bobby Jacoby, playing his brother in this movie, who we talked about when we talked about the Applegates. He was the little brother in the Applegates. So Billy Jacoby plays Wesley Littlejohn, a nerdy college student who describes himself as very dull. He has one friend by the name of Marvin. And he's never getting laid. He's always more interested in his studies, despite the coaxing of Marvin to kind of loosen up and talk to girls and, you know, kind of let loose a little bit. He's in college. But when their biology teacher, Dr. Ackerman, is abducted by aliens and goes missing, their biology teacher is replaced by Miss Zenobia, played by Judy Landers, a kind of aging model type who you might remember from such movies as Club Fed and Madame's Palace. Yeah, no, me either. But anyway.
She was in Stewardess School.
Yeah, Stewardess School. But again, like I said, she's kind of an aging model type. You know, good looking, kind of breathy blonde. So Miss Zenobia, as we soon realize, is in fact an alien from another world. She's got her sidekick Drax, played by the great character actor Raymond O'Connor, in tow, and they are trying to do an experiment to save their alien race. That experiment, of course, involves glowing green goo in a syringe, and of course, their first test subject is, of course, Wesley. Miss Jacoby gives him a shot of this glowing green substance in his ass, and proceeds to have sex with him. I don't know why. I think they're trying to repopulate their species, but I don't really understand the science behind it. But all you need to know is there's sex and sci-fi in the mix. The substance, along with scoring with the hot teacher, turns Wesley into a regular dynamo. This is another one of those movies like The Party Animal or Zapped that it's one of these classic sex comedy subgenres where some sort of weird chemical reaction turns a otherwise nerdy guy into a party animal or sexual dynamo. And this is no exception. Wesley quickly transforms into a guy that likes to hang out with the ladies. He also has a little alien antenna that pops out of his head, and when that happens, it makes him irresistible to the ladies. They come flocking from all around to get a load of his junk. So this also attracts the attention of a trio of babes that show up every once in a while in this movie. One of those babes is Linnea Quigley, which is awesome. Also Ginger Lynn, porn star Ginger Lynn, is another one of those babes. Later in the movie, Wesley joins a band with a bunch of crazy-looking metal dudes, and they play a show with the three babes who are in a band called the Tangpoons. And the whole movie culminates with a big alien showdown between Miss Zenobia and Drax versus Wesley and his band. So this movie is really goofy, super goofy, in fact. But I thought it was a lot of fun. I think Billy Jacoby is a really entertaining actor. I really liked him in Just One of the Guys. I thought he was one of the funniest parts in that. He was always entertaining in Parker Lewis Can't Lose, and he was very entertaining in this. This movie has plenty of late 80s cheese factor. It's got the rock and roll element. It's got the sex comedy element, the sci-fi element. It's all there. I don't know. I had a lot of fun watching this movie, but I'm interested to find out what you guys thought of Dr. Alien.
This movie is super fun. Billy Jacoby, less gross than he is usually. I'm surprised we haven't done more sci-fi sex comedies. But then also I'm trying to think of more outside of Wham Bam Thank You Spaceman, which I refuse to let Parker see.
I'm desperate to watch this movie.
Bad news. This is a blast. There are a bunch of bootleg kind of DVDs of this floating around. I had a VHS of this that broke halfway through watching it, so that sucked. But I would say that was my least favorite part of this movie. I think the end of this is pretty, again, kind of cookie cutter, but still awesome. Linnea Quigley, always a treat. Ginger Lynn, also a treat. Sexy aliens. What's not to like?
I like that attitude.
Yeah, right?
And yeah, I love this movie. I've been wanting to watch this movie for a long time. I think it's been in my Netflix queue for about 17 years now. And, I love Mikey Randall from Parker Lewis. I love Judy Landers. I think she's very fun. I watched her in Club Fed just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, how's that? Cool.
It's all right. It's not as funny as it should be, starring Judy Landers and Sherman Helmsley. But it's pretty funny. It's pretty good. Maybe we should do that on the show. Maybe. This movie's great. The third broad in the Linnea Quigley, Ginger Lynn, rock chick trifecta is the broad from Dr. Caligari.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So a real solid trio of broads.
Yeah, like a veritable who's who of cult movie goddesses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, speaking of cult movie goddesses, Elizabeth Caton is in this movie for like 2 seconds. She's a waitress in the final scene who gets almost zapped, and she throws a bunch of like bottles in the air. She was in Jason Part 7 and Assault of the Killer Bimbos and Vice Academy, like 3 and 4 or something. She's awesome. And yeah, this movie is like super fun. This is everything that like Party Animal wanted to be and tried to be, I think, and failed to be. Like just a fun, crazy, raucous good time. And this is all of that. This movie totally rules. Dr. Alien is super cool. Like, the you know, at some point, Judy Landers becomes Dr. Alien and has this cool alien face. And it is awesome. Like, there's a she does. I don't even know if it's her in the mask or anything. I doubt it. But towards the end, with this huge alien face, you know, the alien face gives like a really emotional, like sort of end of the story monologue. And it works really well, despite having like 30 pounds of makeup and mask on this actor's face, I thought.
Yeah, it was cool how they did that mask, too, because, I mean, if you see pictures of it, it looks kind of cheap, but it actually is really effective because it like from the nose to the chin, it's all actual face just with like blue makeup. And then from like the eyes and the ears to the top of the head, it's, you know, I'm sure foam rubber or whatever, but it's really effective the way it's done, and it blinks, and it looks good. I mean, what could have really been a terrible effect actually, I think, worked really well.
Yeah, when you see it in stills, like on the DVD cover and stuff like that, it looks
awful.
Pretty bogus.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in practice, it's pretty great. And yeah, like that whole ending, I mean, you know, like Mark said, the ending's kind of cookie cutter anyway, but that ending could have really super sucked if that mask didn't move, you know, like mm-hmm. if it didn't work out. But yeah, this movie rules. I love it.
Yeah, awesome. I'm glad. Yeah, this is one that I've been wanting to do for a while, and I sent you guys the DVDs of this, and you know, I've been waiting to watch it. I watch parts of it, but it's one that I've been really wanting to do for a while because, you know, when you hear about it, it seems like, oh my God, this just seems fucking ridiculous. Like, but it also seems like something that would be right up our alley. And sure enough, it is. But yeah, it's got so many awesome, like, junk food dinner regulars, like Billy Jacoby and his brother and the trio of cult movie goddesses that... I didn't think this could possibly fail with you guys, so I'm glad that it didn't. But yeah, this movie unfortunately is out of print on DVD. Somehow Netflix is still renting it, so rent it from Netflix, or track down a DVD or VHS or even a Laserdisc copy, and check it out because it is fun. It's definitely worth owning. All right, well, that just about wraps up Dr. Alien and episode number 109 of Junk Food Dinner. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to give you a shot in the butt of green slime.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
All right.
JunkFoodDinner.com is the world's oldest and sexiest website. Go to JunkFoodDinner.com for the latest episodes of the show. We also have all of our past episodes. You will also find news about the show, movie news, trailers, funny stuff, and links to our friends. You can also leave us log comments, because that makes us happy. We hope our website will be a good way for you to spend time during the downtime in life, when celebrities are not going hilariously crazy, and when the Warcraft servers are down.
I can't do it. We'll do it live. We'll do it live! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Fucking thing sucks!
Yeah. Alright, well, that just about wraps up episode number 109 of Junk Food Dinner. We'd like to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. Make sure, if you like the show, that you're visiting our website, junkfooddinner.com. There you can find all of our back episodes, easily categorized for your listening pleasure. Please download them from the website or stream them right there online. Or, hey, why not make it easy on yourself and subscribe to us on iTunes? We've got a link to our iTunes page right there on the website. Or you can just search for Junk Food Dinner in the iTunes store. Subscribe to us and have the podcast delivered directly to your iTunes as soon as it's available. Hey, while you're on iTunes, help spread the word about Junk Food Dinner by leaving us a 5-star review or writing a nice little write-up about what you think about the show. Or if you don't do the whole Apple thing and you want to subscribe to us on your smartphone, hook us up on Stitcher or Google Listen. You can find Junk Food Dinner on either of those apps and listen to us wherever you are. If you'd like to get in contact with Junk Food Dinner, please do by sending us an email at jfdpodcast@gmail.com. Or even better yet, let your voice be heard by leaving us a voicemail on our voicemail line at 347-746-JUNK. That's 347-746-5865. If you're on social media, and you know you are, hook up with us on Facebook or Twitter, befriend us, follow us, like us, whatever you have to do, and you can chat with us and talk movies, talk nerd news, talk whatever is on your mind. Let us know what you think about Junk Food Dinner. If you like Parker, make sure you get an earful of him every week by tuning into his other podcast, Pool Party Radio, at poolpartyradio.com. He and pal Jason Frisbee delve into all kinds of subjects that we're too coward to talk about here on Junk Food Dinner, but they're not afraid. So check out Pool Party Radio. It's a lot of fun. If you like Mark...
Must love paladins.
Yes.
That's a prerequisite.
Yes. If you enjoy Mark, go see him at the Spectacle Theater in Brooklyn, New York, and watch a whole slew of hilarious, fun, and exciting movies that they show every week. Including many Junk Food Dinner Presents movies. So check out SpectacleTheater.com or follow them on Facebook to find out what movies are playing. And yeah, go watch a movie. It's fun.
Hang out.
Yeah.
Do whatever.
Tune in next week. It should be a lot of fun. We've got Bloodsuckers from Outer Space, Killer Workout, and the sequel to Demolition High, Demolition University. So that should be a really cool show. So make sure you guys tune in for that. So until next time, this is Kevin Moss, Mark Fredo, and Parker Bowman for Junk Food Dinner saying adios, everybody. We will see you next time. Maybe it could be time we got around to Sleepaway Camp.
That would please Mike Dick, since he requested that, like, after episode two.
That's true. But I care not for pleasing Mike Dick.
I hope that's the standard.